Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Footmarks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And the title for this particular Footmarks episode is Postmodern Offspin. And that's because it's been over 10 years now since the Dusra died an untimely death. But before we actually talk about what happened after Jared, let's go back to the days when the Dusra was hip and it had, you know, everyone kind of completely enthralled. Like, it began with Saqlain Mushtaq, who made it mainstream. Murali perfected it. Harbhajan used it quite a lot as well. And it remained hip up until 2014, when Syed Ajmal, who had already bamboozled a plethora of bowlers using the Dusra, was called out for a suspect action. Quite a riveting period in the history of off-spin bowling, perhaps the most riveting period, which, according to Gideon Haig, was cricket's most useless skill. And all of a sudden, in that little while, it was sexy.
Yeah, it really, really changed, didn't it? I don't know how sexy it was outside of maybe when Saqlain was doing it himself. It's an interesting delivery because, and I forgot the guy's name now, but he's a Australian cricket coach who coached Oxford for years, who apparently would bowl it in the 1960s. And he would bowl this thing, and Richie Beno was like, "Mate, this is incredible. You should be doing this, and you should. And he just never did it. So there were other bowlers who had done it before, right? And it's a bit like the wrongen. Like, the wrongen existed before Bernard Bosanquet really works it out, right? And then no one comes back to it. A bit, the carom ball is another one, right? We had two carom ball bowlers in the 60s and 70s, and then none again until decades later. And so when Saqlain was bowling it, I think it was really exciting, and it looked, you know, it was a good time of cricket. Like, we didn't get as much cricket now, so every individual batter who was made to look like an idiot was, it would be on the news and be on the highlights and everything. And it was a really cool time. And then I think it gets really boring really quickly when, and I don't want to single him out because he's not the only one, but when people like Johan Botha start bowling it, right? And it goes from being this kind of weird, you know, wicked Pakistani skill set to being like the ability for a finger spinner to stay in the game without actually ever trying to be enjoyable to watch. And at that point, it goes from being like late 90s when it was such a cool delivery to sometime in that, what, mid 2007, 2010, we're just like, oh my God, do I have to watch another shit off spinner who isn't even that good at off spin bowl just because no one can whack them out the ground because they can kind of move the ball both ways and no one can pick it. So it was interesting how cool it was and then how uncool it was in a heartbeat, really, like of the history of cricket. And it's very different to the wrongen. So when the wrongen comes in, we talk about reverse swing as well. When the wrongen comes in, right, you have, it's cheating, right? We didn't quite get that with the Dusra. We did get that with reverse swing, and we did get that with the wrongen. We didn't quite get it with the Dusra, partly because I think it was one bowler bowling it for a long period of time. It's really when everyone starts doing it, and that's when I think, you know, to go back to the Gideon Haig comment that you mentioned before, there's an element of, look, proper finger spinners everyone respects, but there's a lot of, you know, Viv Richards, Carl Hooper, Joe Roots, you name them, right? David Hussey. who's that guy from India who bowled like underarm off spin? Yadav?
Kedar Jadhav.
Jadhav. Yeah. Like, people like that, right? We just like, oh my God, do I really have to watch this shit? This is not good bowling. It's defensive. Like, watching Michael Clarke or Darren Lehman bowl, like, in that period as an Australian fan, I was like, is this it? We're the best team in the world and I have to watch this shit? Right? And then those bowlers became good if they could bowl this other delivery. So it has this incredible quick turnaround from one of the coolest weapons we've ever seen, and everyone being like, oh wow, like, this is really exciting, to suddenly like, oh great, Johan Botha is bowling, is he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it started off as this exotic delivery that no one understood, really. And the name Dusra was also coined because of Moin Khan, because he was telling Saqlain to bowl the other one. Dusra means, the second delivery, right? So, I mean, it has that sort of start. Then slowly other bowlers pick it up, and then it becomes mainstream to the point where Johan Botha is bowling it. But you have to say that it did weaponize off spinners in a way that off spinners have never been weaponized before, right? I know there's the carom ball and everything that we'll get to, but it was something which was a bit of a novelty factor for off spinners, and offies who could bowl it, all of a sudden their stock was much higher. And it's worth noting also, Jared, that even when the Dusra wasn't banned and a lot of people were bowling it, if you look at all the top off spinners of that generation, it's not like all of them bowled the Dusra, right? It was still few of them.
Yeah, and at that stage, you still had your pure off-spinners around, right? I think T20 cricket has probably killed pure off-spin to a certain extent, just because left-arm fingerspin is a very good defensive mode of bowling, and the majority of the batters are still right-handed. It's hard. You have to be such a great off-spinner now to be, like, I don't even know who the last genuine non-batting specialist off spinner was, right?
I mean, carom ball bowlers, right? You've got Teek,
but that's what I mean.
Mahesh, literally, Mujeeb is there.
But that's what I mean. So they're not traditional off spinners, right? They've got something else. Ashwin has bowled. I've seen Ashwin bowl leg spin and carom balls in IPL games before. So he's no longer a traditional off spinner. I remember when I was looking up the numbers, that one of the guys I found at the top of the list was someone called, you know, a friend of mine, Gareth Batty. And I told him, I said, you've bowled the fifth most off-spin deliveries of like a traditional off-spinner. And he's like, I don't even play T20 cricket anymore. Like, you know, he was probably in his 40s when I told him this. And I was only looking at the last few years. And he's like, where are they all? So you don't get many of them left. And so we've gone from probably, what, late 90s to 2014, it completely dominating leg spin. Really, even while Shane Warne was still around and Anil Kumble was still around, right?
Yeah.
And Afridi, like three very good leg spinners, but off-spin completely took over to now it's like a traditional off-spinner is almost finished in professional cricket unless they could do something else. So Washington Sundar can bat a bit, right? So you get those sorts of players coming through. There aren't many Dane Peets and Simon Harmers out there in world cricket anywhere, right? Like even when you go down the levels, there still aren't a lot of those players out there. Like it has completely transformed cricket in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, you'll still see some of those traditional off spinners or specialist off spinners in test cricket. But when it comes to limited overs and T20s in particular, specialist off spinners are few and far between, right? And
do you think you see many in test cricket though? I mean,
the top few, but yeah, upcoming, maybe not so much. I mean, Sajid just came up for Pakistan, but again, like he's been.
But that's very recent.
While. Yes, it is very recent.
So we had Dane Peet, we have Nathan Lyon, we have Simon Harmer. Mehdi Hasan is another all rounder. I think he's good enough to play as an off spinner, right? There isn't like a long list of them. You don't have that thing that you had a while back. And if you look at, you know, and that's test cricket where there shouldn't be any bleed over, but there seems to still be a bleed over here of like sort of that traditional, you know, normal off spinner that most teams, even if they didn't have a frontline one, they wanted to have like, you know, I'm trying to think someone like a Pat Simcox or a Tim May, right? Where you would bring them in when you needed to bring them in. They might not always be your frontline player. There really aren't a lot of those sorts of players anymore out there. And even then you have someone like Ashwin, who was a traditional off spinner, and he's had to develop with the times a little bit, right? Like, it's happened to kind of everyone.
Also, this Footmarks was, of course, inspired by a piece that Usman Samiuddin wrote for ESPN Crick Info, and that's when we kind of highlighted it that we have to talk about this at some point. And one big theme that came out of that piece was that, you know, if you look at limited overs cricket in particular, you know, in test cricket, sure, there's still not a lot of specialist off spinners, but we've still named a few over here, right? In T20s and limited overs, but more importantly, T20s, you just see all of these all-rounders and batters who can roll their arm, or Liam Livingston-esque cricketers who primarily bat but then can bowl both off-spin and leg-spin. And then they're the mystery bowlers who are basically carom ball bowlers for the most part in your Mahesh Teekshanas and Mujeeb Rahmans, right? So it's really a dying art. And the format has literally killed it because leg spin is huge in T20 cricket. They can turn it both ways. They can flight it. And, you know, there's a bunch of variation over there. So in the midst of all of this, off spin is a secondary skill, not a primary one, as far as the shortest format is concerned.
Yeah, it's disappearing, isn't it, at an alarming rate. And I think, you know, no matter how you look at international cricket or anything else, it's like, it generally now it seems like all the trends are coming from T20.
Yeah.
right? More or less. And so we, even though we went through, I'm trying to remember if we missed any as well. Well, I can tell you this, Joe Root, in the last 5 years of Test cricket, Joe Root has bowled the fifth most balls of an off-spinner, and Roston Chase is sixth, and Sajid Khan is seventh, and Dhananjay De Silva is eighth.
Wow.
Right? So you've got a guy that you just said, he's just basically come in. You've got Dhananjay De Silva, and Roston Chase and Joe Root, none of which are frontline off-spinners, right?
True.
So it really tells you how quickly that is changing. And then if you go to T20, you've got Kikshana, who is not really an off-spinner at all, but he's classified as that still. You've got Sunil Narine, who no longer really bowls off-spin all that much at all. I'm not even sure if he has it. You've got Moinelli, who I would say was one of the last of that breed. You've got, oh my God, I'm going to get his name right. Chris Green. I got that right, didn't I? It is Chris Green.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
It's not Chris Lynn.
Oh my God. I almost said Cameron Green as well again. Who I wouldn't say is really that much of an off-spinner. He is more like your Dan Mosley type bowler. You got Mujeeb. Then you've got Nabi, who is a traditional off-spinner. Ashwin, who was, and maybe not in T20, Harmer and Maxwell, right? So Harmer's the only one who I would say, Harmer's the only one in that list who doesn't have any secondary skill. And is a traditional off-spinner in the top 10. And if you keep going, you just keep going down that list until you get to, again, Roston Chase and Short and Bracewell and Mousley, Mosley, whatever his name is.
I don't know either. I think it was Mousley. I've met him and I called him Mousley.
And the other, Mahidi Hassan. I mean, there's Mahidi Hassans everywhere here, right? So, you know, this list is not full of traditional off-spinners at all. And it's also not true full of just full-time off-spinners, right? It is completely changed really dramatically. And, you know, that 2014 thing was one of the biggest changes to cricket I've ever seen from an administration point.
Yeah, it was a crackdown and a half. And I'll get to it a bit later, but just to your point, you know, in Test cricket, we have, we currently live in the age of Ravi Chandran Ashwin and Nathan Lyon, both of whom are off-spinners. But if you take them out of the equation, as you said, since 2015, the third most prolific off-spinner in Test cricket is Moeen Ali. Roston Chase is at sixth, Joe Root is at seventh, and surely that's not a good sign. And then when you go to T20s, you still see a bit of off-spin being bowled, but it's all of these all-rounders who can bowl a bit, and it's primarily a matchup thing, right? You want your off-spinners to be bowling to left-handers, so it's a tactic within the game. You don't have an off-spinner loaded in your arsenal that you will unleash at the batting order at some point. So that's a big difference to what we saw from, I don't know, 95, 96 to 2014.
Yeah. I thought, as a fan of wrist spin, I really thought during that period we were seeing the end of wrist spin. And I don't think it was just the Dusra, I should say this. I think the DRS probably, when it first started, helped finger spinners a little bit more because they bowl a little quicker. So I think that was an element of it as well. I also think that being able, and Harbhajan, Vettori, Ajmal, those sorts of guys, I think being able to see them on TV probably helped that next generation of people like Ashwin, right, and Lyon, understand if you've got the hands to be able to do it, there is an element that finger spin is just easier than wrist spin. There's actually elements of finger spin that are much tougher than wrist spin, like what it does to your fingers and you know, everything else. But wrist spin is just so much harder to land a ball consistently and everything else. And we probably got to an era where we had flat pitches, right? And we had players who are now unafraid to hit boundaries and everything else. And so wrist spin in Test cricket is still struggling, right? But like we haven't seen a resurgence of wrist spin in Test cricket at all at this point. And so finger spin had kind of, I thought it was maybe living its renaissance or its greatest time since probably the 50s, 60s and 70s, right? And the reason finger spin disappears is when we go to covered wickets. And then with DRS, you have a bit of a swing back. So we do get patterns like this in cricket before. You know, finger spin was really, really important before wrist spin. And then wrist spin sort of takes over. And then finger spin takes back over again. So we've had this sort of battle between these two at times. But that was such a strong period when you just think like, you know, even New Zealand had a good finger spinner, right? Like it was, it was so different. And specifically there was a lot of off spinners around. Like I'm sure we'll name some of them later, but do you remember Shane Shillingford?
Yes, I do. Of course I do. The West Indian off spinner.
Like, there was a lot of bowlers like him who, I just want to have a look, 16 test matches, 70 wickets at 34.55. You get Shane Shillingford on the right wicket and he was basically, like, they used him, as you said before, more like a weapon, right? Like, he really, he, you know, if when he was bowling in conditions that were favourable to him, especially those slower West Indian wickets, he was really, really tough. Yeah. Shane Shillingford wouldn't get anywhere near an international team at the moment. It wouldn't even be a conversation. Cricket media used to be pretty simple. Find your favourite newspaper, head to Cricket Info, and maybe a blog you'd like. Now just finding the best stories and writing is a huge challenge. You already have a job. You just want to read about cricket. Well, that is what the best of cricket is currently doing. They go out daily to find the newest cricket coverage and the best stories from any publication in the world. And when they can't discover what they want, they also hire some of the best writers to produce their own great stories. You can get the best of cricket via their website or on WhatsApp. They find cricket's best stories and give them to you every day.
Yeah, and he'd probably get no franchise contracts whatsoever either. Like, that's an even bigger hit. Which, honestly, to the next generation, you know, it's not an incentive at all. If you are just a right-arm off-spinner, no one's picking you. If I am a batter, even in a tape ball game somewhere in Islamabad, and you ask me, Behram, what sort of bowling would you like to face? I'll be like, throw me some right-arm off-spin, please, because I know where it's going to turn. I know it's not going to do anything different, and I can kind of play it wherever I want to. But here's the interesting thing. In test cricket, leg spinners or wrist spinners, you still don't get to see a lot of them. There'll be one wrist spinner that you infrequently see. More often than not, those are left-arm wrist spinners, actually, weirdly enough. And off spinners or finger spinners are still preferred over leggies. So is that an accuracy thing? Because with wrist spin, there is always the opportunity that because you're bowling attacking lengths, there's every chance of you going for runs. Whereas as an off spinner, you could control the flow of runs. Is that a thing?
I don't think we've had a wrist spinner develop in a way that is for test cricket since Yasir Shah. Like, if you look at all the other wrist spinners, they are not. Like, look at someone like Ish Sodhi. I don't know how you bowl him consistently in a test match, right? He's, you know, we just don't have that. Warne and Kumble were exceptionally accurate, right? Even Shahid Afridi was really accurate. Mushtaq Ahmed was quite accurate. I think Rashid Khan would be absolutely fine if he played in test cricket. But I'm not sure there are that many other wrist spinners who would be we would be able to do it. The other thing with wrist spin is it is a little bit slower. And I think batters are quicker now than they've ever been before and much more likely to come down and punish bad balls and also make bad balls happen. And, you know, that's the Parkinson thing, right? Of like Parkinson was a very good bowler for England, but England were just terrified that the minute he threw the ball up, everyone was going to hit him for six. Now, Parkinson would point back to his record going, then why has no one ever done that at any other level? And why have I dominated this league and played in this league and everything else? But that was the worry. So I think there was a real push around when I first started cricket writing, 2012, that spinners just had to be quicker. There's a real strong push towards that. Sports science was doing it. Bowling coaches were talking about it and everything. It is really hard to be quick if you're a wrist spinner. Right? Adil Rashid is slow, right? Adil Rashid is slow. And, you know, if you go to a club game and you watch two just general spinners, the finger, even the, you know, the 55-year-old accountant who bowls four overs of off spin every now and again is going to be a lot quicker than the young pro who probably bowls leg spin, right? Just because leg spin, the amount of revolutions you're putting on the ball just slows it down.
Yeah.
So I think there's a few different elements that have made that happen. You know, and it's very interesting. We've seen at times in different places that leg spin has, like, what happened to leg spin in England? Like, it just completely dies in England, right? Whereas in Pakistan and Australia, it takes off. In India, leg spin struggles, right? In West Indies, wrist spin used to be a big deal. Everyone wanted a wrist spinner on their side. And it's like, I've seen some of the guys bowling in the Super 50 wrist spin. It's basically me at times bowling, right? It's bad. It's really bad. So I don't think wrist spin is in a particularly strong place for test cricket, but with players coming through, there is still a chance that some of them may not transfer their skills over. We might still get great leg spinners who don't bowl very good wrong-ins, right? Who
but are quicker.
Don't have a choice, but Yeah, but don't have a choice and then have to play test cricket.
I mean, if they're quicker in the air, then perhaps they are a better asset for test cricket.
And Rizbin is quicker now than it has ever been before.
I mean, you've got Rashid Khan and then you had Shahid Afridi not too long ago. And even Anil Kumble would get a lot of drift, right?
Kumble, yeah.
So those guys definitely stand out in that regard. But, you know, even though we're talking of postmodern off-spin as a dying art, you can't deny the fact that we still are in the era of Ashwin and Nathan Lyon. And whilst there are a lot of these spinners that we've mentioned who rely on the carom ball heavily, you know, Mendes kind of brought it back into fashion after Jack Iverson, I'm going to assume. And you probably have another name up your sleeve who I've forgotten. But, you know, ever since we've seen, obviously, Ashwin stands out in that regard of someone who's perfected the carom ball. You've got your Teek Shanas, you've got your Mujibs, and now Allah Muhammad Ghazanfar bowls it, right, for Afghanistan. But in test cricket, it's Ashwin. He's the man. And he has a lot of, you know, different variations and slight changes to his degrees of bowling with which he outsmarts batters. But then you've got Nathan Lyon, right? Someone who doesn't have all of those weapons and he doesn't have the carom ball either. And he bowls in a country like Australia where Gideon Haigh hails from and makes that comment about off-spin being cricket's most useless skill. But yet, he is one of the most successful spinners ever to bowl in Australia, from Australia also. And due to his overspin, which you've talked a lot about, he's got that edge and he also has 500 plus test wickets. So it's not particularly necessary to have a carom ball either in test cricket to succeed because Nathan Lyon is proof of that.
But I don't think Shane Warne didn't have a great wrong-un either, did he? Aaron, you know, and I know there have been a lot of leg spinners with great wrong-uns, but you don't need that specifically to be successful as a wrist spinner. And so I would say in test cricket, what you need is a very, very strong main delivery, stock delivery, right? It doesn't matter. That was always my big thing with Ajunta Mendes. So everyone got really excited when Ajunta Mendes came in. And I was like, yeah, but no one can pick him at the moment. And in about 18 months, everyone's going to work out how to play him. And when you actually strip back what Ajunta Mendes was doing, he was basically spinning the ball like an inch either way. Like he wasn't ragging the ball. So it wasn't dipping. It wasn't sliding. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't doing anything unnatural. Whereas if you compare that to Monty Panesar, right? Monty Panesar is tall. He's strong. His balls dip and they spin and they bounce, right? It's very, a good player against Monty Panesar will be able to work out ways to get it. To play him. And there are going to be days where Monty Panesar doesn't bowl well and everything else. But Monty Panesar can basically, against any right-hander in the world, come around the wicket, drop the ball on middle stump and go, good luck, right? Because of the strength of his delivery. It's the same with Nathan Lyon. The strength of his main delivery is really important. And it's one thing it doesn't matter if it's a wrist spinner or if it's a seamer or whatever. I'm looking at what is your main delivery and does it pose a threat? Because your main delivery doesn't pose a threat. T20 cricket and one-day cricket is a little bit different. The variety, especially even more so now, is so much more important. So for someone like Nathan Lyon, we could still get another Nathan Lyon come through. Like there might be another off-spinner. The interesting thing now is, would another Nathan Lyon be pushed through?
True.
Right? Our team's actively looking for that because that's the next thing. You know, there's I can't remember who wrote the book. It might have been one of the Michael Lewis books where there was a point at which in draft rooms, like everywhere in the NBA, teams would look around and they'd be like, oh, this guy's a mixed race 6'2" guy who shoots a lot of three-pointers. He's the next Steph Curry. And everyone's like, wait a minute. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter of all time. Chances are, like, what's the racial element got to do with it? And blah, blah, all these weird things. But essentially, all the scouts were doing was going, that's working, so let's get another one like that, right? That's what happens in cricket.
Okay, so let me pose a question to you. You're a scout, hypothetical situation, and there are two different frontline off-spinners in the sheds who are wanting to get picked for the first team, right? And you're considering both of them. They're both young. Neither of them can bat, okay? One of them is a tall dude, right? And the other one puts a lot of revs on the ball. Who will you pick?
So what I'm... It depends on what competition I'm looking for, what position I'm trying to fill, whether they could bat, whether they could field, like all those things come in. But what you're really looking for is when people face their normal delivery, is it causing any problems? So I saw Rakim Cornwall, you know, not when he was young, but when he was fairly unknown back in 2018 when I was working with Solusha, and And I was like, oh, okay, he's got some technical problems with his off spin, right? He doesn't quite use his hips correctly. Hmm. I could see that a mile off. But Rucking Cornwall's best delivery does spin and does bounce because he's friggin' what, 6 foot six or whatever he is, right? And so you watch people trying to play him and checking their shots. That is what I'm looking for. It doesn't matter to me if it's revolutions or height. It doesn't matter to me if it's strength or weird action. That is what you're looking for. But what I'm saying is this next generation, what everyone's going to be, no one's going to be looking for what is, I mean, Nathan Lyon's got himself a little bit quicker now. But no one's going to be looking for a Nathan Lyon bowler in that next generation. They're going to be looking for an Ashwin, perhaps, because you're going to look for someone who's an evil genius who can tilt the seam into all different positions and bowl these different things. They're going to be looking for a Jadeja, right? They're going to be looking for faster spinners who can wang it in and still turn it at optimum pace. I mean, look at England's leader spinner. It's just basically this weird half medium pacer, half spinner. Like, we are already starting to see this trend coming through. And so Nathan Lyon is already sort of obsolete in his career. Now, the interesting thing there is that may not matter for Australia because the next best spinner is Todd Murphy and he's not all that much different than Nathan Lyon. So in international cricket, sometimes you don't have a choice. But when you're looking at, teams overseas, you always see these patterns, right? The franchise leagues. Always see these patterns of, okay, we're looking for who's the next Tim David, right? And it's like, okay, Tim David's great. Let's find four more. Who's the next Liam Livingston, right? And what you end up doing is you end up not picking for the player. And that is partly what has happened to off spin in modern limited overs cricket is that Lyon can't get in the side.
Even at times, Jared, if you think about it, right? When you see these franchise tournaments, when the surface isn't turning, then Teek Shenoy and Mujeeb don't get in the side either. The carom ball bowlers, right? They more often than not get benched. And you'd prefer like a Maxwell sort of bowler who can obviously primarily bat and then dart those balls in, which will be harder to get underneath. That's the psyche.
Have you seen Nathan Lyon bowl in a T20 game?
I think I have, maybe once.
So you know he was picked basically for Australia based on the back of Big Bash form to play in the test matches, right?
I remember that, yeah.
So he's played 51 T20 games, and I would assume the vast majority, there might be a couple for Australia, but the vast majority of those would be in the Big Bash. He's got a bowling average of 21.87 and an economy of 7.34.
It's pretty decent, right? Solid.
So what, and I would have to look at someone like Simon Harmer. So Simon Harmer was absolutely dominating county cricket and cricket in South Africa, right? And his record is 190 games, average of 27.63, and an economy of 7.68.
So he's not as good as Lyon.
Yeah, but he's really good. Again, how many franchise leagues did we see either of those? At one stage, I would say Harmer was up there with Lyon and Ashwin in red ball cricket. Unfortunately, by the time he came back from South Africa, I think his hands have started to slow down. Well, not slow down, but he's not bowling the same. But the point being is that even those guys having those numbers doesn't change it because it's set. And we see this a lot, right? We see really good fingerspin options from Bangladesh of players who don't go on to be, especially off-spin, who don't go on to be franchise players, right?
Look at Sajid Khan, and then you see, nowhere close to a franchise deal.
I mean, Sajid Khan is you know, miles off. And we see lots of players like Sajid Khan. And then, but Imad Wasim bowls with the other arm.
Yep.
Right? And if you're a left arm finger spinner, you get a lot of these deals. And if you're Chris Green or Dan Mousey probably in the future and you're a freaky off spinner, you're going to get deals. If you Teek Shana and you Mujeeb and you're a freaky off spinner, you're going to get deals. Some of these people don't have much better numbers than the guys I've just mentioned.
That's fair, but a lot of these slow left armers who do get deals can also bat. Imad Wasim, Akil Hussain, I can name a lot of them. Like Keshav Maharaj is a brilliant slow left armer, and you know he'll play the SA20, but in other leagues, he won't always get a game. So these slow left armers are often bowling in the power play to kind of, you know, be defensive bowlers up front.
And that is why Nasser Hussain decided to bowl first at the Gabba. And this all, of course, reminds me of Hit Wicket, which is a mobile cricket strategy game that is all about making those tough decisions. Who do you want to send in as an opener when the asking rate is climbing? Do you go for the big hitter or the steady accumulator?
Me, I like to throw in someone a little bit unorthodox, a bit of a wild card like the general. That keeps the opposition guessing. And what about the bowling attack? Do you unleash your express pace early or hold back for the death overs? I'm always tempted to bring on a mystery spinner in the middle overs and just try and break a partnership. Hit wicket puts you in the captain's chair. You draft the squad and select the batting order and even decide when to use those game-changing abilities. Do you burn your two times ability to chase down a big total or save it for a critical moment later on? It's strategic, it's addictive, and it's more nerve-wracking than facing a Shoaib Akhtar bouncer. Give it a go. Download Hit Wicket and see if you've got the tactical nous to win.
But Keshav Maharaj is going to other leagues. Left-arm finger spinners are still going.
True.
Right? No one's calling Nathan Lyon asking him to come to a franchise league, right? He might go to the Major League Cricket in America because all the Australians run it, right? But he isn't going anywhere. So there's a trend there. And the batting thing, you're also correct on that, right? But if I gave you those numbers of a wrist spinner, of what I just gave you of Simon Harmer or Nathan Lyon, we both know they would have played.
Yeah, jumping the gun.
If you're averaging 21 with an economy of 7.5, someone's going to give you a bunch of league deals. And so that's where the trend thing comes in, right? Mm-hmm. And rather than doing, and all sports do this, right? All sports do the same thing of someone comes through and they're a trendsetter and then everyone sort of follows them with the sorts of players that they pick. But that means that generally there is something left behind. Right. And at the moment in limited overs cricket, that is off spin. Now, Moen, you were talking about batting before. It was very hard when was I with RCB 2018? It was very hard to convince anyone in 2018 that Moen Ali should be playing in franchise cricket. Right. He was not very popular at all. Right. Sikandar Azhar. I was trying to get Sikandar Azhar gigs working with his agent. No one was picking up my calls. Right? I was putting all the information to these guys going, no, this guy, you have to trust me here. No one cared, right? If that's either of those left arm finger spinners, they're instantly in all the leagues. And so that's what I mean. You get these trends and they happen, right? And it's no different. There are lots of good right arm seam bowlers who don't always get franchise gigs as much as the more average left arm seam bowlers do.
Yeah.
These are patterns. But off spin is currently in that situation. So even if we have a player coming through, it's going to be very hard for them. I would say that if your best ball, like the reason that Nathan Lyon would have a good record, forget that he bowls in the Big Bash and everything else. But I would say the reason that Nathan Lyon has a good record is it's very hard to slog sweep Nathan Lyon, right? And it's very hard to consistently come down the crease to him because of the overspin.
Yeah.
Right? So you could score off Nathan Lyon, but the ability to come down and score off him without being dismissed is still very tough. And he wouldn't be the only one. I'm sure there are other, there are other finger spinners around the world that would have a similar kind of thing as well. Theirs might be different. It might be side spin. It might be slidey, whatever. But we're not even looking for that. Yeah. And so that shows you where off spin has gone from 2014 to now. Whereas in 2014, everyone was bowling off spin. And it was largely because of the fact that most of those bowlers had a Dusra. And also the Dusra had allowed for the bastardization of actions, right? So I still think Saqlan Mushtaq, I don't know if he was tested, I don't think he was for his Dusra, but I still think his Dusra was fairly clean, at least compared to some of the ones that we saw afterwards. But it wasn't just that that it was the Dusra bowlers, all finger spin, as we got faster. You know this. You can bowl finger spin in the backyard. You bowl finger spin in the backyard. You try bowl a faster one. You can feel your elbow bending.
Yeah.
Right. Every time, like Eek's trying to teach himself left arm finger spin at the moment. And every time I try and show him something, I always do that like a dart because that's the movement, right? Yeah. That is literally the movement. My dad had this theory that all finger spinners chuck. He was always upset that fast bowlers would get called when he was like, have you ever seen finger spinners? Look at them all. They're all chucking, right? And so I think that what the Dusra did is it had this bastardization of you suddenly had these things. So even when we had specialist off spinners in those days who didn't have the Dusra, they were probably bowling faster. They were getting more revs on the ball. And so what we're probably going back to is, Harmer and Lyon, even Ashwin when he bowls proper off spin, you know, Mahidius, one of the Mahidiasans, one of the many Mahidiasans, they have more pure, as Sajid, as you mentioned before, these guys have pure actions. Whereas if you go back to Johan Botha, Shane Shillingford, right? Saeed Ajmal, these are not pure off-spinning actions. And ultimately, that's why they were no longer in the game. And what had happened is we just went, oh, it doesn't matter if spinners chuck all that much. Like after Murali, it was too hard. Right? Mm. It was so hard that we almost pushed it to the side. We had a whole generation for 14 years of people bowling with some of the most hideous actions that I've ever seen and getting away with it time and time again. And then we have the Great Purge of 2014, which comes about, look, I don't know if, I can't remember if this is in Usman's article, but I can give you a little bit of insight here. I have written about this before, but not in a long time. Srinivasan takes over the ICC at this time. Is this mentioned in Usman's article? I can't remember now.
Not Srinivasan particularly.
This is obviously Srini never said this to me. I met him once or twice. No, maybe just once. He never said this to me, but he was a real purist, right? Like, you know, his favorite cricketer was Rahul Dravid, right? Like real purist cricket person. For all of his other strengths and weaknesses, I never doubted that he absolutely loves the game. Right. And specifically like a hardcore nut like us. Right.
Okay.
And that I don't feel the same way about Giles Clarke or many of the other chairmen or CEOs I've come across. Right. I do feel this way with Srini. What I heard, and I heard this from someone very well positioned, like was that they came in and they said, okay, we've got the game now. What are you going to do about it? And Srini was sort of put off by that because he's quite a cocksure guy, but I don't think he thought about, he now had the access to change things on the field.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, I hate chucking. I'm so sick and tired of watching people bowl. And it was specifically finger spinners that he had an issue with. Right. And you know, where's Srini from? Chennai.
South of India. Yeah.
Finger spin heaven. Right.
Yep.
Like literally one of the cradles of finger spin in our entire sport. And I think he was watching these people and people have forgotten now. Do you remember there was this big conspiracy at the time that it was to stop Pakistan from winning the 2015 World Cup?
Yep, yep. Right? I remember that.
What happened to Pragyan Oja? Don't see him much anymore, do you? Yeah. It was really interesting. It's happened to Sunil Narine. Sunil Narine played for some pretty influential people.
Mohammad Hafeez also.
Yeah. You could go through the list. Johan Botha, Shane Shillingford, those two others I mentioned. Do you remember Prosper Utsaya?
Who can ever forget Prosper Utsaya?
Prosper Utsaya is my favorite ever press release ever, where the ICC tested him and they said his off spin is illegal, his deucer is illegal, but he's allowed to bowl straight.
Wow.
I was just like, oh my God. They've literally just said to this dude, you can bowl slow and straight. That's all you're allowed to do ever again in your life. It was so brutal.
Not allowed to prosper anymore.
Yeah. You can't spin it this way. You can't spin it this way. Sorry. You can only go straight. And I was told this all comes from Srinivasan. I have, as I said, didn't get it firsthand from Srini. And I got it sort of with someone who was very close to that whole Big Three takeover. You know, during the death of a gentleman, obviously I was hanging out with some weirdos, some important people, and that I was told the story with one of them. But the ICC also knew that this was a problem. And there's a guy called Peter Miller. Do you know Peter Miller? He's a big guy on cricket Twitter back in the day, but might have been after sort of you sort of come in. Sorry, before you come in. He was the cricket geek on there's two cricket geeks on cricket Twitter. I think they used to fight over who was the real cricket geek. Peter Miller went on to work in the CPL for years, right? And I don't think he does much cricket writing anymore, but he had me on his podcast once and he was like, the deuce is good for the game because it means off spinners are as dangerous as wrist spinners and it's a really exciting ball and everything else. And he's like, I love watching Saeed Ajmal or whoever else he was talking about. And I was like, great. And I said, should people only be able to bowl it then if it's illegal? And he's like, no, because it's more exciting. So we should allow the deucera to be separate. And I said, we've got a ball in cricket called the flipper, of which five people have ever mastered, right? And we might never see more than another five master it throughout the history of the game again, right? They managed to master that ball, which is almost physically impossible to bowl. and then were successful off it, should they be allowed to see other people cheat to bowl the flipper? Because the flipper's a really exciting ball. Like, it's as exciting as a deucer is. Like, it's, for those who don't remember Shane Warne, like, it's such an exciting ball, the flipper, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. And I said, then, also, the other thing is, we say it's really exciting for the game, the deucer, because we're seeing, you know, you're seeing these really exciting deliveries being bowled and wickets are falling, whatever. I said, when you watch Shane Shillingford bowl, or when you watch Johan Bota bowl, or Prosper Utsaya bowl, or I could go on and on and on, right? All those guys. Are you still saying the same thing? Because they're not. Nothing exciting about Johan Bota's bowling. He's a really smart cricketer. I really respect him as a professional. I think, you know, he's looks like he's going on to have a really good coaching career.
Yep.
And those sorts of players, I will always stand. But watching him bowl, Bayram, was like putting a fork in my fucking eyeball. It was so shit watching him bowl. And it was obvious that his action was not within the 15-degree flex.
Hmm.
Right? So all of these things are happening and we are seeing them. And I'm like, we can't just legislate that ball. The issue now is that as cricket changes, you look back and you go, that might have been the high point in some ways of what off-spin was. And there's absolutely no doubt that whether it was the ICC in general, and I've been told it wasn't just Rini, he might have... Because he was pro it was easier to sell. But yeah. I think the ICC in general were just like, what is happening to our game that we are allowing so many of these guys to just dominate in white ball cricket with these actions? And so what we are seeing now is a recalibration, but we've probably gone too far in the other way, right? Of now we're looking at it going, oh, we can't even pick an off spinner in our side if he doesn't bat. And it's like, what?
That's basically where we're at.
Why would that be the case? That, you know...
That's basically how modern franchises at least view things. Even international teams, you don't really get to see any limited overs off spinners anymore because we still managed to name a few in Test cricket. But you know, the 15-degree crackdown of 2014 was quite intense as intense can get. And eight bowlers were reported.
Probably.
Yeah.
Would you not say, I'm probably better. I was going to put a question to you, but I don't think we've ever seen another crackdown like it in the history of our game, right?
Yeah.
The only other one I would say that is close is when Ray Linmore was dragging his foot and he was the back foot no ball law basically got completely changed because of Ray Linmore and the other guys dragging their back foot. I would say those two are the biggest crackdowns in our game of when the administrators just went, we have to change.
What about bouncers? There's bouncers, there's two new balls in white ball cricket.
Yeah, but I don't think those are crackdowns. Like those are, the two new balls comes from the fact that the old system wasn't working.
Hmm.
We have always allowed bouncers. We changed how many bouncers you could bowl within the game. I don't think that necessarily changed what kind of bowlers we were picking. Bowlers got smarter, right, and started bowling from chest to neck, right?
Okay. I don't think any bowling type was eliminated as a result, or player profile, which is a specialist off spinner in this scenario, right?
And exactly. And I would say the three biggest changes are the back foot no ball law, the crackdown on all the off spin. The other one is also weirdly about off spin. It's the fielders behind square on the leg side.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I was going to bring that up.
So I'm not a huge, I love a good off spinner, but I'm not a huge off spinner. I don't love cricket because of off spin, right?
Like, he's a leg spinner, folks. He's a wrist spinner, so of course he'll have these opinions.
I accept it. I accept that it exists and that there are people that are good at it, but I don't care much for it. But I will say this, off spin has been legislated against twice.
Yeah. Right?
And specifically, Bayram, off spin, because that big purge was mostly off spinners who were chucking and the deucer and everything out there. There weren't that many left arm bowlers who got caught up and all that.
Yep.
And the other one was bowling off spin down the leg side with two leg slips and a fine leg and a deep backward square, right? All of those things were directly aimed at off spin. So I want to go out here and say is that cricket doesn't like off spin.
Yeah,
and
we find
excuses to stop it every time it gets good.
It was a major deal, right? A massive deal. Huge news when that purge of 2014 happened and eight bowlers were reported in the direct aftermath. Six were banned. Ajmal was the biggest casualty. And if we look at the numbers for off-spin bowling ever since, globally, they have been dented quite significantly as well. And I don't know, like, I often think to myself whether or not off-spin is better off as a result and what the future holds for specialist off-spin spin or off-spinners, because it seems like it's a dying art and it's going to die even further, especially limited overs internationals.
Yeah, I wonder. One of the other problems that off-spin has always had, outside of that little period where everyone was bowling deuceras, is you go through and basically off-spin has been a holding form of bowling. So if you go back to Deepak Patel in 92 World Cup, right? New Zealand aren't opening the bowling with him for any other reason other than it upsets people and no one can hit him. That's what I mean, Martin Crowe has been quite honest about this. He's like, we didn't really expect him to get a lot of wickets, but we just knew he'd go for about 22 runs. And in those days, that's what you did. Do you remember Peter Taylor, the Australian off spinner?
No, I don't.
So he would, I reckon he even, I don't know how long his career goes, but he might have even continued to play after Shane Warne was around. In fact, there was this whole thing about Shane Warne would never be able to play limited overs cricket, which we should do a whole podcast on at one stage because it's really, really interesting as well. But I'm trying to remember when Peter Taylor last played ODI cricket. 92, so it's not quite. But 87 and 92, you know, a really good off spinner. Peter Taylor, let's see if I can find this here. In ODIs, he went up 4.17 and he just basically bowled defensive style off spin, right? And so that in that era of and that goes through to the 90s, you get obviously you get Murali and Sucklane who are a little bit different and Ajmal's a little bit different. But if you go through the majority of
Arshad Khan as well, if you remember, the tall guy.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, so you go through the majority of the off spinners in, and I don't know if I can bring them all up until 2000. And this goes even longer. Like Moeen Ali, if I said Moeen Ali to you as a one day bowler, right? Your first thought is probably going to be that he didn't take many wickets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So think about him in international cricket. In Test cricket, I should say, he's an attacking bowler.
Yes.
The same bowler in one day cricket is defensive. And so that's a separate movement, which hasn't helped off spin, which I think if you go through the history of all, and I don't think I can bring up, I'd have to go through it manually. But I think if you go through the history of all the old spinners up until, let's say 2014 is a good example, right? I think you'll see that the majority of the finger spinners, outside of a couple of, geniuses, are defensive options.
Yep.
Right? That made sense up until 2019 World Cup. Really. I mean, you could say after 2015 it had already changed, but it made sense up until 2019 World Cup because at that stage, teams were trying to stop people scoring. Teams aren't trying to stop people scoring as much anymore.
Yeah,
they are trying to take wickets, even if they do it through a defensive method, right? And it's the same in T20 cricket. When I first started working in T20 cricket, I remember going to Mitch McLenaghan and just going, do you want to know how this guy goes out? And he goes, no, tell me how not to score. And I was like, but you're the strike bowler. You're the guy who takes all the wickets. He goes, no, I'll stop him scoring and I'll get him out. Teams aren't talking about that anymore. They're talking about how do we get this guy out? Because you can't let an international player in for a long period of time. And so you go through some of those old... some of those old finger spinners. So Joe Saria, Vittori, probably Harbhajan, all those sorts of guys. I'm trying to find a few others. Who else am I missing in that period? Can you think of any others off the top of your head?
I mean, I did mention Arshad Khan, right?
Arshad Khan, when would he have bowled?
He would have bowled late 90s, early 2000s.
Arshad Khan.
That's
how many games would he have played? Why can't I find him on my list?
Don't think he would have played a lot of games.
Oh, okay. I don't have anyone here who's. I'm only looking at spin because I don't have. Sunil Joshi. He's another good one. Robin Peterson. Pat Simcox. Pat Simcox, again, an attacking bowler in Test cricket, a defensive bowler in T20 cricket. Johan Botha. But all these guys I'm mentioning here, John Embry, again, another attacking bowler in one format and defensive in the other. I don't think I've named anyone here who is averaging under 30. Ray Price.
Yeah.
Right? I can go through the entire list. There are so many defensive spinners, finger spinners, in that period who were averaging, and some of those guys were averaging 30, some were averaging 35, 36, 37, 40, 42. They kept getting picked, right? Mo and Ali is probably maybe one of the last ones to do that. As you said, part of that was his batting.
Yeah.
It's hard to bowl in modern cricket with those sorts of things. And if you look at Ravi Jadeja, what would you think Jadeja's ODI bowling average would be? Just off the top of your head.
I don't know, 34?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good guess. Let's see if you're right. I would have guessed about the same. It is 36.
Okay, so not too far off.
Right. Now, what's his bowling average in Test cricket?
23, 24?
Yeah. So I think we might have legislated them out. I mean, correctly legislated them out. We might have overlooked them. But there's also a cricket thing going on here of like, I remember doing this thing. I was interviewed for some weird position with a, I can't remember who it was now, but they were like, you know, give me your no, one of the questions was, you know, name the best left arm finger spinner in T20 cricket. And I was like, and I think I went for Krunal or Akshar. And they were like, what about Jadeja? And I said, well, what's his bowling average? And that, this was their trick question and they hadn't looked it up, right? Like, and I was like, he's not a wicket taker. And I think, you know, Krunal Pandya, I think at this stage is maybe a better defensive bowler than him. And at that stage, Krunal was making runs, whatever, right? Like Jadeja was still in that top three and Imad Wazim was up there as well. Like I gave them about five options. The point being is that like these guys are not attacking options as much anymore. And so, you know, it was during the 2023 World Cup, teams, you could see teams in real time, Bahram, just be like, oh my God, we cannot stop anyone scoring anymore, right? Yeah. We have to risk and reward. And they don't think that finger spinners, and if you go, as I said, you go through the history of these guys, attacking in Test cricket, defensive in one-day cricket, again and again, there is an element of that. Now, maybe what we get is different kinds of finger spinners coming in who find different ways of attacking or handling it. And maybe that's what this new carom ball mystery, Tikshana, Mujib, maybe that we just, you know, we have to get used to that. But we're also seeing people like Tikshana. I don't even think Tikshana is an off spinner, right?
Yeah.
Varun Chakravarty. I don't think Varun Chakravarty is an off spinner, right? I don't think Sunil Narine is no longer an off spinner. I would argue that Sikandar Raza is no longer an off spinner. So the off spinners aren't even off spinners anymore, right? They are evolving. And so it's a really interesting time for that art in cricket. If, you know, what happens if you're an 18-year-old now and you're coming through? And I remember talking to Gareth Batty about this. So he's now coach of Surrey, but this was before he was coach of Surrey. And he always said he found it really interesting when he was dealing with right-arm bowlers compared to left-arm bowlers. Like right-arm bowlers, like, yeah, I swing the ball away naturally, but I'm working on my in-swinger. And he'd say to left-arm bowler, you know, thought about swinging the ball away. He's like, I don't need to. And Batty's like, what? And it was the same with the off-spinners. And the left-arm finger spinners would be like, oh, I've never tried a carom ball. I don't know how to bowl a doosra. You know, I've never tried to spin the ball the other way. Whereas all the off-spinners were doing it. So they're already being trained naturally to try these things as they come through, which means that perhaps when you talked about Nathan Lyon before, you know, I don't know, you might get specialist finger spinners from Asia just because the pitches help a little bit more. But what happens in the rest of the world? Do we get all-rounders or something else?
Let me pose you a question, right? Of course, we can say that maybe 5-10 years from now, young cricketers will approach the game differently. They'll see what's in demand and they'll probably veer towards that direction. So you might see specialist off-spinners, particularly in limited overs cricket, just become a dying breed. We're already kind of there, but it might get even more solidified. But let's suppose, Jared, that you are Shoaib Bashir, right? You're just in the English team and you've basically been told that you're their primary spinner in Test cricket, home or away, you will play. And you obviously want to further your career. What would you be looking to do if you are Shoaib Bashir to have a good career, right? Because right now, it's a bit of a paradigm shift that you're currently experiencing.
Yeah.
And already a lot of people think that you're garbage. So how do you disprove that notion?
It's a really interesting one because let's say, and we've seen lots of cricketers do this, you know. Sam Curran and Mitchell Starc are two perfect examples of guys whose bowling probably regressed because they tried to develop their game.
Yeah.
So if you show up Bashir and, you know, do you try and develop your game so you keep yourself useful? As maybe, I mean, England could come up with a fast wrist spinner or who knows what sort of random guys they might promote next, right? And then he disappears. Or do you just focus on being very good at what you do, right? And I think when you're young, any player, once he's confident enough in his stock delivery and his I don't think Shoaib Bashir is. I think Shoaib Bashir is slightly technically imperfect, which means that he quite often bowls down leg side when he doesn't mean to. I would be fixing that first. But once I am sure that I could come in and put the ball exactly where I want to put it every time, I'd be thinking, what's next? And there are two kinds of cricketers. There is, you know, the Ashwin, Benny Howe, Sikandar Raza type people, Sunil Narine type people who are constantly like, okay, I was successful doing this, but now I've got to try something else, right? And then there are the other cricketers who are, let's call them the Rahat Ali type cricketers, who have a natural advantage and that got them to the top of the game. And then eventually that doesn't work for them anymore. And they're like, well, I had a good career and I go. There's lots of people like that. There's lots of people like that in sports media that I could name, right? Who are good at one trick and then the one trick sort of wears off and they disappear, or they're good enough at one trick that they could do it forever. Those people exist as well. So I do think there is, those groups exist, and we don't know who Shoaib Bashir is. If it's me, you know, I'm probably spending, how old is he? 21, 22?
Super young, right? 23. 21. I would think he's 21.
Yeah. I think if it's me, I want to know, before I expand my game, I want to know that I know my game inside and out, so that if I dismantle it, I can put it back together again.
Yeah, so he's 21, right? And if you're listening to this, yeah, Shoaib Bashir, then focus on your stock ball and fix that accuracy, yeah, and then maybe perhaps you can envision a future in which you can add to your arsenal and maybe become a limited overs threat as well. But then again, he'll probably have to learn how to bat, because that's a big element in that.
I think, you know, we haven't talked much about people like, and I know he's a left arm finger spinner, but Dan Mousey we talked about before. Mark Watt is a really interesting one, right? I remember having a conversation with Mark Watt and saying, I think every finger spinner in the world will eventually bowl a knuckleball, right? Because you have the hands to be able to bowl them, and they're really cool. And I think Sunil Narine had started bowling it since then. We've had about, what, four or five guys who bowl it quite regularly, but it hasn't taken over the way that I thought it would. Yeah, Sikandar. I think there's a couple of others as well, yeah. I think Varun might bowl one occasionally, and Teek Sharma might have one as well. Like, not as much, but it's out there. And I'm sure Waddy's tried one, because Waddy has bowled left-arm finger spin, wrist spin, alts, and Yorkers, and bowls from 28 meters back sometimes, right? But I remember having that chat with him, and I think, if you're an off spinner now, the carom ball is, you have to be very, very good at the carom ball, right, to be an international level carom ball bowler. Because that ball's now been around. When did Harath kind of brought it back before Mendes? So it was Harath bowled it in the late 90s. Mendes brings it around in 2007, right? Yes. 2008. We're 16 years on. We haven't been inundated with carom ball bowlers yet. So many young, especially Asian kids, bowl them all the time, right? The reason is they need the wicket to be a little bit helpful for them. I don't think you need that with a knuckleball. And also, I think what someone like Benny Howe and now Sunil Narine have shown us with the knuckleball is, a knuckleball isn't just like one delivery. You can bowl leg cutter knuckleballs. You can bowl off cutter knuckleballs. You can bowl outswing knuckleballs. And if you look at what we are seeing with Akhil Hasan, right, and Sunil Narine has taken this trick as well. Sunil Narine is like a sponge. he will never sit down for a chat with me because he's not that kind of person. But my God, to pick his brain, we're talking like one of the best cricket brains in the world, and we never get to hear anything from it. It's a shame. But he saw what Akhil Hasan was doing.
The seam up delivery?
Bowling. Yeah, the swing. Basically swing, right? Like, and it's not quite swing, but... And Sunil Narine started doing that. There's no reason why an off-spin bowler can't bowl traditional off-spin, a knuckleball, and an in-swinging ball, and an out-swinging ball. And suddenly they have a lot of varieties. And this is the thing I want to leave you with. Before the Dusra, off-spinners had a ball that went away from right-hand batters. What was it called?
I don't know, man. I was born
with the arm ball.
Oh, right. Like, so that will always exist for all kinds of spinners, right?
You say that. When was the last time you saw an off spinner in a game legitimately come in and bowl a traditional arm ball, which was the one where you have the seam pointing the other way and the ball drifts away and doesn't spin back?
Doesn't Lyon do this at times?
He has that more, that sort of cutter slash Graham Swan, Ashwin type of ball. Yeah. I'm not sure even Graham's, even Ethan Nathan Lyon has that sort of traditional sort of, sometimes early in his career, Moeen Ali would bowl it. Tim May was really good at it in Australia. I think Pat Simcox might've been another one. There's an Asian off spinner who I'm missing, who's obvious for this one as well, who would bowl it on occasion. The point is that there has always been other subtle things that off spinners could do and to make themselves more relevant. And they haven't probably followed that. So what you have to do is work out. It's a bit like, you remember when the back of the hand slow ball was beating the off cutter, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the big ball that you wanted. That's actually really hard to bowl. That's like the Karen ball, right? That there's a reason why we only have about 12 or 15 guys in the world who are ever specialists at back of the hand slow balls, right? Mm. Like Clint Mackay's career was over and suddenly he nailed that ball and everyone was like, do you want to keep playing? And he's like, I think I'm done, guys. And they're like, no, we need you. Right? You know, James Faulkner came up on one of the podcasts the other day. 80% of his success was that one delivery, right? Because he was so good at it. But very few people can bowl it. I think the Karen ball is very similar. Anyone can bowl the Karen ball. I've seen you bowl the Karen ball, right? Mm. I can bowl a Karen ball. It's very hard to bowl it and get it to spin off the straight. But there are other things that off spinners can do. And that's the when you talk about the show at Bashir, that's the evolution that I think off spin has to take. In the same way that wrist spin had to have an evolution, in that the wrongen needed, that sort of Abdul Qadir, Shahid Afridi, Anil Kumble wrongen was so much better than the traditional wrongen because it doesn't spin as much and it doesn't bounce as much or dip as much, but it's harder to pick. Leg spinners have to evolve, off spinners have to evolve, and sometimes it's micro things and sometimes it's major things. But the point I would make here is in any form of cricket, if you're Shoaib Bashir's best ball is not an issue. It's his normal ball that's a problem and his worst balls that are a problem.
Yeah.
If you're Shoaib Bashir and you can get genuine revolutions from a height, you can spin the ball, you can bounce the ball. I just don't understand how that can't be successful in all formats of cricket. But perhaps what we might need to do is rethink the way that we tell finger spinners to bowl. Because what we've been telling them over the years is bowl faster, bowl faster, bowl faster, bowl faster. And they end up being crap medium paces. I'm not saying Dan Mousey is the epitome of that, but he is essentially a medium pacer who rolls his fingers over the ball. He's basically bowling cutters rather than finger spin, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying there isn't a place for that, but is there not also a place for someone whose best ball spins and bounces? Like if that isn't the case, hasn't our sport kind of just, aren't we just overlooking something just because it's not trendy rather than everything else? And I understand the matchups and everything else, but those same matchups exist in all forms of cricket, right?
Yeah.
And off spinners have been pretty good in other forms of cricket. It's very weird to me that suddenly the matchup is more important there.
I think the main takeaway over here is that cricket is now far more attacking than it's ever been, and people are going for wickets and not containing runs. And off spinners who are currently in the game, because I'm not even sure if youngsters would pick it up as a primary skill, but let's suppose that there is a primary specialist off spinner right now, they would have to think how to evolve and what sort of variations to add, which would allow them to take more wickets. And that's when maybe off spin can be more hip again. But right now, it's kind of down in the dumps, and we still have some flag bearers who, I don't know, once they retire, it might look a lot more dodgy. But anyway, you guys let us know what your thoughts are about all of this discourse, because we've been talking about it for an hour, and I think this is a good note to kind of finish this or end this podcast on. So, yep, give us your thoughts in the comments. And just a quick reminder to all of you guys, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll see you soon enough with another episode of Footmarks, but that's all for now, guys. Have a good one, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings.
And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.